Okay, then, I think I'm going to kick off, partly because I need to make sure I don't miss my flight home, otherwise I am in so much trouble at so many different levels. I don't know who would be more angry with me, my wife or my boss for the extra cost it would be for the flight. So, welcome to the final session of the Tomcat Con track. It's aimed as a bit of a wrap-up. I'm not going to bother introducing myself. I think you're pretty much... If anybody here doesn't know who I am, then something's gone wrong this week. So, first of all, thank you all for attending. I hope it's been useful. Thank you for making it through to the last session. It is nice to see so many of you still here at the last session on the Thursday when normally people are dashing for the aeroplane, so thank you all very much. I did say on Tuesday that we had some new PMC members that I couldn't announce. I'm pleased to say that both Cody and Huck Singh are now fully fledged members of the Tomcat PMC, so congratulations to both. So with this wrap-up session, what I wanted to do was really look forward and think about what I think might be happening in the Tomcat community and things around it over the next year-ish. So, obviously the big thing on the horizon is Java EE 8. It's due June, July, summer-ish. The main thing that we're going to get there is Servlet 4. So that's HTTP 2 and all the other things that we've talked about this week. In terms of the other specs, I'm not aware that anything has happened on them. So what I'm expecting is what's happened with the JSP spec in the past, which is a few days before the deadline, the maintenance lead will publish an update to the spec that will fix a few typos, maybe add a couple of convenience methods, not really add anything significant, and then push it out there, and that'll be what we'll end up implementing. Sort of like half a day's development effort each, I'm imagining. So what that means for Tomcat 9 is we're currently releasing milestones. They're going to stay as alphas, milestones, until the specification API is fixed. They're milestones at the minute, they'll be alpha once the spec is fixed. As soon as the implementation is done, we'll switch it to beta. That's going to be a very short period of time, unless something truly awful goes wrong in the trailer's implementation. That's about half implemented already, and I only stopped because there wasn't clarity on what the API was going to be. So that's alpha will happen as soon as the specs go final. Beta will happen very shortly afterwards. Stable is the one that will take a little bit longer. And the good thing with all the delays with Java EE8 is that Tomcat 9 has been out there for a while. Tomcat 8.5, which is heavily based on it, has been out there for a while. And it's already had a lot of real testing. People are using it actively in production. We've ironed out a lot of the sort of early issues that we'd normally expect to iron out. When will it be production ready? No idea in terms of fixed date. I wouldn't be surprised if it was before the end of this year, assuming that Java EE 8 delivers when we're expecting it to. So compared to previous releases, that should be fairly quick. There is some work to do around Java 9 modules, but that is still a moving target. And as I've said before this week, I'm not really that keen on spending time working on it when the target's still moving. We've got an idea of what's going to be involved. It's probably not going to be too much, hopefully. So we'll let that settle down. And Java 9 and Java EE 8 aren't tied together at the minute, so we can always treat making it run on Java 9 as just something we fix in a point release, because I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to massively affect any of the existing APIs. At the other end of things, Tomcat 6, we are now slowly closing down the resources. Bugzilla was closed to new bugs, I think, last week. There's something just under 20 open Tomcat 6 bugs. I think it's 18, it might be 17. So we need to review all of those. What I've been doing this time is, previously I've just changed the Tomcat version to whatever the latest one is and left them. What I'm trying to do this time is go through them and actually give them a bit more of a review, see if the, you know, can we actually implement this? Does it look like there's a demand for it? Do we need to market as won't fix? And try and actually close them out rather than just punting them again. I expect that some will end up being punted because it'll be, it's a nice enough idea, it's just a fair amount of work, so it's not quite an itch I want to scratch, but it makes sense enough that I don't want to just close it as won't fix. So that in that, those ones will probably get punted, and there'll probably be a couple of them. The other steps, once those are done, we make Bugzilla read-only completely for 6. We'll remove Tomcat 6 from the downloads page at some point. Once we've done that, we'll remove it from the mirrors, and then we'll drop the links to the docs. It's worth remembering that all of the Tomcat 6 versions will still always be available on the archive. The docs will always be available on the website, we're just not linking to them.
So no security fixes?
There will be no more security fixes for 6. With the usual caveat that unless 3PMC members decide it's a really good idea, get together, do it and vote for it. And if they do, that's fine. The chances of me being one of them is pretty slim. There might be 3, it's possible, and it depends what the issue is. And to some extent, it depends what those PMC members are still supporting that uses 6 in their organisations that a release would be helpful for. Personally, I'm trying to avoid doing that, so it's highly unlikely is what we normally say. So yes, the 6 releases are still all on the archives, as are all the ones back to Tomcat 3.2. The docs will always be available on the website, as are the docs all the way back to 3.2. So we just don't link to them. Was that a question over there?
Statement, I guess. Good news is one of the frequent Tomcat 6 release managers is a very friendly guy, and he works for an organization known for a long tail support of things. So if you absolutely require continued support for Tomcat 6, raise your hand on the mailing list, and it might happen.
So that brings us on to Tomcat 8. And because we want to try and support 3 versions in parallel, we don't really want to be doing 7, 8, 0, 8, 5, and 9. So, as I said, what we've always wanted is 8, 0 to 8, 5 to be seamless, modulos, maybe some simple configuration changes. 8, 0 has got a slightly slower release cadence. There is no fixed date on when 8, 0 is going to come to an end. And what we heard at the meetup last night, and various people have sort of said in the room or in the corridors, is it would actually help if we put a fixed date on that. So I think that's a discussion that we need to have on the mailing list. See, well, are we going to put a fixed date on this, and if so, what is it? Or is somebody going to step up and volunteer to actually keep it running in parallel with 8.5 for at least the next X months, and then we'll revisit it maybe. But we'll try and get some more clarity on that, because at the minute it's not. So Tomcat 7, that is going to be supported until Java EE9 is close to being released. Now, I've put an idea here on when I think that might be. The question was asked on the mailing list, and I think I went through a similar sort of logic and came up with a slightly different set of dates. It's going to be no earlier than end of next year. At the absolute earliest, and I would be amazed if we end of life Tomcat 7 that early. It all depends on what happens with Java EE9. That's meant to be a year after Java EE8, but I don't see that happening. I think it's going to stretch longer. And then there's also then the question of, we're not going to end of life Tomcat 7 until we've got a reasonable degree of certainty when Tomcat 10 is actually going to be entering into service. Because there's always some overlap. We don't want too much, we don't want too little. So, yeah, question at the back?
I may have missed something here. Just not following, but is there a chance that Tomcat 8 gets end of life before 7?
Tomcat 8.0 might, but 8.5 will carry on. But we might end of life Tomcat. And the plan was always, when we created 8.5, was to end of life 8.0 fairly quickly. But that's why it's important for us that people can move from 8.0 to 8.5 without hitting anything horrible. And if people report it, we'll fix it nice and quickly. So, yeah, I mean, if Java EE9, say, is released not next year, let's say it's 6 months late, that's end of next year, say we don't have certainty on that until 3 months beforehand, so we'd probably shoot then for end of life 12 months after that, so that's what, end of 2019. So yeah, it's somewhere around 2019 maybe, but it's very movable depending on what happens with Java E9.
Are you only doing bug fixes to 8.0 if there also is an
E5? It really comes down to, there's no fixed rule on what we backport to what. Everything goes into trunk, so everything goes into 9. Pretty much everything goes into 8.5. Some internal cleanup doesn't. Bug fixes currently are going into trunk 8.5, 8.0, and 7. And it's normally what happens is that we will put some bug fixes all the way back to the earliest supported version, and it comes down to a judgment call as to how severe the bug is versus what fixing it might do to somebody who thought they're on a nice stable release that wasn't going to change. Everything that's supported will always get security fixes. So there's no hard and fast rule, and actually it's getting easier to backport stuff. A lot of it depends on whether the code that needs to be backported has gone through a refactoring. If it's in the connectors, it's horrible. If it's anywhere else, it's now fine. Usually 7 to 6 was potentially horrible in lots of places. That's gone away now. The main area of difficulty is going from 8.5 to 8 around the connectors because of all of the refactoring we had to do. But equally, we don't want to backport all the refactoring to 8 because that will create a different set of problems. Yes?
I guess I wonder, so Ubuntu 16.04 would have 5 years of support, and it comes with 8.0, Tomcat 8.0. So would there be security patches until 2021?
It's highly likely not by us, but I imagine that Emmanuel will be backporting stuff from 8.5 to 8.
Yeah.
And because 7 is still being supported, actually, it might actually be easier to take fixes from 7 than 8.5, depending on the area of the code. So we have a Tomcat committer that's plugged into that, so that should happen.
Yeah, the reality is that Ubuntu is the one that's made their promise to their community. Right. We are not supporting their promise.
Right.
So if they want to backport our patches to later versions, they're free to do so, and presumably they will work with us to develop those patches, but we won't do them directly.
Right. And what we've said is we will always give at least 12 months notice of end of life of a major version, but we've never made any promise over and above that. And we'll try and do more, and we'll try and do better, but that's what we've said we will do.
So you mentioned, how do you know, as somebody who's just a user, that a particular version is production ready? Because you scared me with that, because we've been using 8.5, and we considered it production ready. Well, maybe, I don't know if you do.
if we call it stable, that's what we consider production ready. It tends to be, my personal yardstick is something along the lines of, have we had 2 or 3 releases in a row without any bugs that make me go pale? Or any sort of regressions that have caused hassle? And it's a sense of, yeah, actually, but we've had those 3 releases out there, lots of users have been using them, and we've just had the steady trickle of bugs that people have stumbled across that have been in the code base for years and years and years, and they just happen to have stumbled across them. If we've still got, you know, 2 or 3 major bugs being reported on each release, and they're related to code that's changed, and then right. That, we think, no, that's not stable. But there's no hard and fast rule.
So, do you consider 8.5 stable?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And to be honest, I'd be close to calling 9 stable if it wasn't the fact that the API wasn't stabilized.
Yeah.
And it could go from milestone to stable very quickly. But it needs 3 PMC members to all consider it stable before it will get a... And there needs to be a majority of more people thinking it's stable than beta. So it's a PMC decision. and we will take feedback from the community. As I said before, I will quite happily, if we have a release that's got 10 PMC votes and one user pipes up and says, hang on, this is broken for me, that's enough to kill the release. Yeah. If we stick to the Apache rules, we don't have to, we could release it anyway, but 99 times out of 100, it doesn't get fine. We'll listen to that. That's valuable feedback. You've gone to the trouble of testing it. We wanted you to test it, so now you've told us we're going to listen.
And please do a book.
So yeah, when Tomcat 7 is end of life is a little bit of a guessing game at the moment. So if we go back to the other end and Tomcat 10, what do I think might be in that? For the servlet spec is fairly easy, because that's all the stuff that got punted out of servlet 4 that we decided we didn't have time to do. So request cancellation was mooted. In HTTP2, the container knows if the client has said, I don't want that request anymore. And potentially, we could pass that information onto the app via some form of listener. So there's something there that will be discussed for servlet 4.next. Async parameter processing. You can process request bodies and write response bodies using async code, but you can't actually read form parameters in an async manner. You have to wait for the whole body to turn up. So that was discussed as something we could do. And overlays goes all the way back to servlet 3. Back when people were talking about, I forget what the magic phrase was, it was something to do with clouds and multi-tenancy, and there was some lovely phrase that was all over Java EE and then got forgotten in about 6 months. But here the idea is that if you're deploying the same app multiple times with slight tweaks for different customers, different departments, whatever, then you can have one common app, and then you have an overlay for each of those customers that had the specific customizations for that particular deployment. And then when you wanted to update it, you just updated the master copy, and the multiple instances all picked up those updates in one go. So all you had to do was update one wall, leave the overlays alone, and updates for in that particular scenario were easier. The good news is all the code we need to do that is implemented, ready to go in Tomcat, and has been since servlet 3, because I went and implemented it when we thought we were doing it, and literally the week after I'd finished implementing it, it got dropped from the spec. I wasn't overly happy, but it did have some other side of benefits, because it forced us to rewrite the resources handling that was getting incredibly spaghetti-like. So it's a lot better. JSP, Unified Expression, and JASPIC, I'm not aware of anything that's particularly going to happen, so I think they'll just be in maintenance. WebSocket, the one big ticket item there is a standard API for WebSocket extensions. So at the minute, Tomcat has the compression extension, Jetty has a compression extension, I think they've also got a multiplexing extension, but they're all written to our own internal APIs, you can't chop and change them. It would be nice if there was a standard API for extensions that you could then just plug in to the WebSocket implementation. Having said that, that API might not be the easiest thing to write, because to get those extensions working efficiently, you really need to be plugging into some of the low-level processing. So the right API then potentially depends on how you've actually done the implementation, and I just don't know whether we'll be able to get to sort of a common agreed sensible API amongst all of the WebSocket implementers, but that's what the expert group's for. If it starts up again, and if it's agreed that extensions is the way to go, then that's what we'd be working on. Jack is the authorization, the authorization component how did I do that?
I don't know. I think you lean on the space
bars. That wasn't my plan, right. Yeah, Jack is the authorization counterpart to JASPIC. So that's the Java authorization contract for containers, I think. This has been on my list of things to do to look at for a long time. The main reason for wanting to look at it is if it provides a standard API that apps can then use to do things like add users, remove users, update users' passwords, that would be a useful thing to have. I don't know whether it does or not. I want to go and have a look. We'll see. If it does, great. If it doesn't, then the usefulness of it becomes rather less. Other things for Tomcat 10. This is sort of a theory that I have mooted several times. I must stress, this is my personal thinking. It is absolutely in no way should be taken as the consensus view of the project. So thinking goes, the main reason for having APR native was that you could use OpenSSL, so TLS was a lot faster. Well, we don't need the APR native connector now because we can integrate OpenSSL with the NIO and NIO2 connectors. So potentially we could drop APR native altogether. Now that would be a nice thing because there are some annoying bugs in APR native that are really difficult to track down, and when you hit them the JVM crashes. It would be nice to just make all of that go away. So okay, we've got an APR native. Well, hey, I've started, so I may as well carry on. Do we need NIO and NIO2? There aren't any particular performance differences between the two. One isn't particularly easier to integrate than the other. If anything, NIO2 is a little bit more complicated. Do we still need, could we just have the NIO connector? Don't know. Is anything going to happen with HTTP next? Maybe. I mean, discussions are happening. Whether anything will happen in the Tomcat 10 timeframe, I don't know. Reactive, Rossum talked about that yesterday, and we talked about it more at the meetup last night. There is definitely interest from people who want to be able to write reactive-style apps directly to a reactive API rather than going via the servlet API because it's a little bit clunky. Could we put that in? SSI, is anybody still using server-side includes? If we dropped that package, would anybody even notice? That might be a question for the users list. But I suspect it's not that widely used. Signed code. I mean, at the minute, we sign all of the Windows. We sign the Windows installer and we sign the Windows uninstaller, so you don't get nasty error messages when you install on Windows. But nobody's actually noticed, or at least they haven't complained, the few releases we haven't signed because we're having problems with the code signing service. So I'm wondering, you know, how much do people actually care about that? And taking it, going the other way, we have the option that we could sign every single jar. The only people I know that have used signed jars have turned around and said, that's lovely, but it doesn't help us in our particular scenario because every jar we ship has to be signed with the same certificate, so we strip out anything they do and redo it ourselves anyway. And that's to do with running Java in the browser. It has to work that way. So maybe. If we talk about more sort of project development-y type things, moving to Git, I think, is just a matter of time. There was general consensus amongst the developers probably about a year ago that yes, we want to move to Git. It just needs somebody to find the time to run through the process, make sure it works, and find some answers to some of our SVN integration questions. But I think it's all doable. So that I think is going to happen at some point. Periodically we get asked, do we want to move to Maven? This came up again over lunch today. Again, this is a personal view. I think Maven is unlikely. I think there are always costs associated with that change, and I haven't yet seen anybody articulate benefits sufficient to justify the associated costs. Moving to something that isn't Ant, that I could believe would happen if a compelling argument came forward. If somebody could come up with a compelling argument for Maven, I think we'd move. I personally think it's fairly unlikely that will happen given where the community is at the moment. Something other than that, quite possibly. Gradle got mooted at lunchtime. I think that could happen maybe. Chris?
If you're done with it.
I'm done with that, yes.
I want to add something.
Go on then.
By the time we're talking about Tomcat 10, we'll probably also be talking about TLS 1.3. I'm not sure if that's really a feature. I mean, it's pretty much going to be if the JVM supports it, then we will support it. If OpenSSL supports it, then we will support it, but it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, fair point. TLS 1.3, that should be in there.
I'm also interested maybe not personally doing it, but if somebody is motivated to see if they can get our native connector to build against Libre SSL, that would be nice. Not just OpenSSL. Theoretically, the APIs are compatible right now, but it's going to require some monkeying around with the build process, I think, to get it to work.
That sounds like a job for Rainer to me. It's his area of expertise. It's certainly not mine. But if there's anybody in the room, or you know anybody that's interested in it, then yeah, happily, if there's a patch to do that so we can build with either, happily take it. So other things that are being talked about, possibly some form of community-based Tomcat training course. I've managed to persuade my employer to donate their old Tomcat training material. It's a bit out of date, but it's a possible starting point. Somebody else has indicated via the wiki that they're in a similar situation. They've got some material they might be able to contribute. The idea is that we put together an outline of the course on the user's list, a bit like we did for this conference, and then put together a bunch of modules that you could then pick and choose from to build a training course. And then community members could then give that training course, whether it was committers or anybody, it would be there. And we could potentially do webinars on individual modules. There are all sorts of things we could do with it, but there would be this community training resource. I'd like to try and do some more things with user groups and meetups, but these tend to be local things. So if this is something that you'd like to see in your area, speak up. Feel free to use the users list to try and organise it. Feel free to use the users list to try and badger at least one committer to turn up to it if you'd like them to. Feel free to use the users list to tell the committers to stay the heck away, as you wish. But getting the community together, having those meetups, I think is a useful thing to do. Please take advantage of the community resources. If there's anything the foundation can do to help, let us know what it is. We will do our best. Other things, there's plenty of opportunity to get involved. And we've just talked about the training course, the meetups. It isn't just bug fixing. The website is desperately in need of an overhaul and has been for a while. If you want to help with that, please do. Documentation help. Just simply cleaning up the code. There are lots of areas in the code where it's just somebody going through and doing a bit of cleanup would actually be a big help. So you don't have to fix the big, nasty, complicated bug. We do try and leave the simpler bugs open for a while to give people a chance that want to get involved to pick them up and run with them. If you'd like to give it a go and you want to ask for some help, where should I start with this? What do I need to look at? Then feel free to ask on the dev list. We'll happily give you pointers about what to set up, where to look, how to go about it.
We look at going along the same thing. We look at maybe like creating a tag and puts a look for something.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah.
That way you can easily filter on.
We could do that. Yes, because it does support tags. So, and in some ways, one of the good things about Tomcat actually causes us problems there, in that because I like to go and close all of the open bugs before release, then the low-hanging fruit doesn't hang around for very long.
Yeah.
It's almost worth considering leaving the low-hanging fruit for longer. But then it's a trade-off.
There's already many people are looking. Nobody's like checking PC. It doesn't really matter. We can encourage people through the need for them to say, hey, go periodically and check this thing.
I think there's already a keyword in Bugzilla that says, like, this is an easy patch.
Cool. Nice. Cool.
We just need to annotate on this thing.
Yeah. And if not, we've got enough Bugzilla admins on the project to add it, so cool. okay, so that brings me to the end of what I wanted to talk about. Any more questions? Right.
So, given your dates for Tomcat 9,
yes.
I'm concerned with my release now. How much of a drop-in replacement will 9 be for 8.5 if you're not using any of the server 4 stuff? Basically server.xml. I want my instances to be able to...
Almost. The only differences will be... things like Tomcat 9 doesn't send the reason phrase and doesn't give you an option to send the reason phrase. The option to have the request line validation be a little more lenient doesn't exist in 9. It forces you to be more spec compliant. It's actually still slightly lenient, and that might get tightened up further at some point. But otherwise, And at times I've gone through and I've actually done diffs between 8.5 and 9 and copied stuff across just to make sure that it's they're in sync as much as they realistically can be, bar some underlying refactoring. The public API, the sort of the APIs you'd be using, the behavior should be the same.
And is Tomcat 9 going to be tied to Java 9?
No, Java 8. Okay. Tomcat 9 will require Java 8. Tomcat 8.5 requires Java 7.
We're running on Java 8.
Yeah, that's fine. So 7 or later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's always all later. It's a minimum Java version. So yeah, they'll be fine.
Right.
Yes.
Has the community interest in localization or documentation? Because in China there are many developers that will have some difficulties reading the documentation in English. Actually, there are some volunteers that have translated the English document to the localized documentation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
We'll take it.
The community does that welcome something like, do we have a kind of localized documentation on the website so that everyone can
We would be more than happy to put translated versions of the docs on the website.
Yeah.
What we just need to be careful of is, obviously we can't keep them up to date unless we happen to speak the language in question, which I certainly don't. So there is an issue of keeping them up to date and keeping them in sync, but I think that there are ways around that, and part of a website overhaul could perhaps even look at, are there ways that we could structure things that would handle that better? And the whole lot served through HTTPD, so in theory, we could have it auto-negotiate and pick the right language based on the user's browser if we've got it, if we wanted to be really clever about it. But certainly, as a starting point, if it exists and it would be useful on the website, then yeah, let's get it on there and get it done, definitely. Any more? In which case, thank you very much and safe travel home, everybody.